Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Hi, this is Paula Keoki. I'm the CEO and founder of Outward Media. We go by OMI. And this is the Marketing Vanguard Leading Voices in B2B Innovation podcast. Today, we are fortunate to have Richard Blank. Richard is the president and bilingual telemarketing trainer at the Costa Rica Call Center. Welcome, Richard.
So happy to be with you and your audience today.
And I was just telling Richard that I'm jealous that I haven't been to Costa Rica. So Richard's an expert in all things telemarketing and call centers. And so we're going to ask him a few questions today and get his expertise. Richard, at what point in the marketing to sales pipeline do you see call centers having the greatest impact? And how do you define that sweet spot between MQL and SQL?
Well, I believe that AI, a computer, can never replace empathy. They can't give you a hug. True. And so you will use it for gathering and to make things easier. Bring it to the 10-yard line, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But you and I need to bring that ball into the end zone, and that needs to be that human connection. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you have to be there when someone's elated or it's the worst day of their life. Mm-hmm. You don't want to lose them as a client. You might get a referral. Mm-hmm. And so that human connection can never be replaced. And so we might be seen as a luxury, you know, like a concierge sort of service in the future when most things are replaced with non-voice support like chat, email, or texting. So I love the art of speech, especially since the agents are English second language, so they are getting an ROI on an education. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing more beautiful than a perfect delivery of your idea. And if they expand their vocabulary, learn diplomacy and strategy, and avoid certain words to evoke defense, mm-hmm. then I think these are the sort of gifts and soft skills mm-hmm. that will give them such an enriched life.
Mm-hmm. And then between the MQL and the SQL, what do you think is the sweet spot between there for your clients?
That's pretty much in regards to cost.
Okay.
That's the bottom line and what the sort of contact and conversion ratios are. And I've seen people more comfortable with one medium than another. Okay. So it's really just more trial and error.
Do you do inbound and outbound?
We do both.
Okay. Do you see a more towards one or the other or equal?
It's very interesting. There's a smaller labor pool for outbound, but they're more refined, so they cost more. It's more of a specialist. Larger labor pool for inbound support, so you have a higher attrition rate. People jump. Okay. But the thing is, though, that today, it's really about what the client wants. A lot of the times, they don't like latency. So if you turn in a trouble ticket, or if you have to wait for an answer, it's only going to make you explode or potentially have you lose a client. And so I've seen retention just as strong as customer support. And also in regards to outbound, when COVID hit, most people were working from home and things went straight to voicemail. What's the adjustment you do? Don't make 100 calls a day, make 60. And what you're going to do is a little bit more due diligence. So if you're leaving a voicemail, okay, sending an email or doing something. It's kind of like you and I, prior to jumping on this podcast today, we both read each other's bios and found some really nice talking points where we could anchor and have things in common. And so I find it as a compliment when people show sincere interest, when they ask second and third questions, not just glancing over like small talk at a cocktail party. And so when we used to leave very detailed voice messages and do really good tailor-made emails, we almost not only matched a conversion ratio, but sometimes exceeded it because more people preferred that non-voice. So we almost had to make that sort of adjustment and then went into other sort of phone calls. So that's the way that I see it, but it is a means to an end. And people like myself, and I would rather call you than text. And if I'm calling a company, I'm going to press 0 so I can speak with somebody. And so I do believe that there will be a market for my type of services.
I think there is, right?
Oh, look what Hollywood did. They all hate telemarketers. Do you
Wow.
hate us more than used car salesmen?
But think
It's
about it.
look what they've done to us.
But think about customer service. I had an experience recently where I bought something and it didn't get delivered, and then they wouldn't answer the emails. There was no chat. There was no phone number. And
Right.
it was a less expensive price than another website, but I didn't get any service. So I would rather, I canceled and I got it paid more at a different website because there was some service involved in it. Sometimes people want to talk to somebody, at least I do.
I think most people do.
Yeah.
And I've also learned that if you allow somebody to vent, or imagine, remember the cartoons when steam would go out of someone's ears?
I do.
I have a profanity rule. If they curse at you, Paula, they get a warning. They do it a second time, you can hang up. But if they're venting and they're getting it out, I'll let you do it. And then I'm going to give you some Philly guilt. I'm going to go, hey, Paula, are you done yet? You want to curse some more? And you go, Richard, I'm so sorry. I go, may we begin again? And you say, yes, we may. And then look at that sort of foundation.
So
Now
that's,
you have a client for life.
and that's how you're training your people.
It's maturity. You can't take it personal. And you think about it, you're speaking to someone's worst day, something broke.
Yeah.
For an example, we work with a law firm. So we do level one intake coordinators for wrongful termination and disability. So imagine that extended empathy when people are calling us after they've been fired. And so we can cradle these calls. And I think those specific soft skills are the things some people might be lacking today.
I think you hit the nail on the head, soft skills. Totally agree with you on that. So, from your perspective, what are the most effective top of funnel tactics that set up a call center for success down the line?
Reinforcement.
Okay.
Because we have a very large attrition and burnout in this industry. A lot of people feel like they're robots, but then again, look at the industry you're choosing. And if you have skills like yourself and you're talented, then you're versatile. You have options. You shouldn't have to settle for, let's say, stock scams or certain things, sweepstakes, the things that give us a black eye when there's other companies that can grow because of that outreach and relationship with clients. And so, for me, what I like to do, we have a QA department, quality assurance, and there's KPIs, which are key performance indicators. And so I'm paying you to verify information, use military alphabet, use your name, get excited. But as I mentioned before, those specific soft skills where, let's say, for an example, since a lot of people are at home and you hear a dog in the background, I'm definitely going to ask you your dog's name, what breed it is, and how old is your puppy. Look at your reaction. So it just makes happy. And I love dogs. And so when we put that in the notes and we call you back, we ask how Fluffy's doing. Come on, you love us. And we also have been trained to do positive escalation. So if you have an assistant that has transferred me to you or did something to allow me to have a relationship, we'll mention that verbally and in writing. So when I call your company back through building a pipeline, we get a hero's welcome. These are the sort of things you don't have to be stressed about, angle in, carpet bomb, and force your day. These are quality long-term relationships where they see very good faith prior to any sort of contract. You're mentioning Billy, Tommy, and Joey that work at your company. You got transferred prior to you, and you look up a website and you're mentioning loading docks or your second location or your 15-year anniversary. Those, if you called me and you mentioned my Art Deco building and my pinball machine collection, I go, listen, you got 5 minutes to lose it. I got my credit card at the ready. What are you doing? And so I love that sort of connection initial. You really give yourself three or four steps different from your competition just by showing that sort of real interest in people.
Interest and attention. I read in the Wall Street Journal a few years ago that it was an Indian call center, and they were all in India, people from India, and the guy was complaining about his wife. And the guy on the other line said, started agreeing with him. Yeah, he goes, "Well, you can't talk about my wife like that." So it was like the call center went back and retrained all their people to deal with the U.S. American way of, look, I'm venting, but you can't agree with me.
No, what you say is thank you very much for sharing that with me. I understand your position, and if you're able, allow me a moment to fix it. And so it's
Instead of
these are half moon,
agreeing.
these are circles. Yeah. It's readjustments of tone is what you're saying in a sense too.
And it's also, like I said, understanding how Americans think versus Indians have different culture than we do. And they tend to be gentler people a lot of the time, at least most of the Indian people I've met. So yeah, I read that and I thought, wow, that is so interesting. They had to go back and just retrain how to deal with the American public.
They hedge. The problem is the non-active listening, because they could say, okay, great, but it's not great what you just said. What's your address? 123 Main Street. Great. No, it's really not. It's dangerous here. And so you have to be very careful on certain answers. You might want to just repeat it back military alphabet, monotone, and military to keep it neutral so there's no emotion to it, and then say, is this correct? Yes, thank you. But then you say, Richard, I just celebrated 15 years of business. That's great. I'm happy to hear that. That's when you take the chance and you agree with them. That's a mirror imaging on positive. But if it's negative, that's mm-hmm. when you need to make sure that you keep that distance, let the dust settle a little bit, and then you see if you're capable of moving forward. And so it's really about the listening is where the problem is, where some people just, as I say, hedge and just say, okay, Oz. And they really don't have finesse in their speech mm-hmm. with transitional sentences mm-hmm. or proper pausings.
So it sounds like you do a lot of training.
After 10,000 phone calls, you should be able to see certain patterns. But yes, my good friend, I do see this where when you see crosstalk or interruption, or if someone asks you to repeat something, you're not loud enough, you're going too fast. And so there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a matter of that XY chart and where you just want to adjust so you're hitting bullseyes. And most people are not conscious of their speech. That was my minor in college, and I've been devoted over 20 years to a call center. And as I say, if you do this full time, like yourself with your B2B training, your public speaking, your companies that you've worked with, come on, it's your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And so you see people in your classes that just need a little bit of balancing. So they got the drive. They just don't have the practice yet. Mm-hmm. And that's all.
I totally agree with you on that. So what is the biggest operational challenge you face at the call center level when trying to convert marketing leads?
I think it's more of the follow-up. The movie show Cold Call Closing, Blake and Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, I love that movie.
Or Vin Diesel in Boiler Room. Where should I? To your house or your mansion? I love that stuff. Listen, as I think that certain communication, it's like fire. It could be for light and for warmth, but it could also be used to burn somebody. Like when rappers do their sort of rap-offs, and people can really hurt you mm-hmm. if they say mean things. And secondly, when I'm mentioning about building this pipeline and following through, if we set a date for a podcast, for we both were on prior to that recording, at least 5 minutes. That's amazing. Look what we're doing. And so follow through on the email, follow through on the phone call. If they're asking you for information, send that information. And also no surprises. If you can't make something, make it tentative. To at least give somebody wiggle room in case something happens. Be a straight shooter. Mm-hmm. I like to judge character during chaos. Mm-hmm. And if somebody does ask you to call them back because they're in the middle of a meeting or something happens, as I may say, don't take it personal. And so these are the sort of things through maturity and impulse control you learn. And secondly, when you understand people's, it's like the barking dog that doesn't bite, but the little thing will bite your ankle off. And so I never judge the first impression. I don't know you well enough. Something could be happening in the kitchen.
I'm laughing because my dog's the latter. It will bite your ankle.
And it does both. Yeah. But you and I spoke prior to going live about giving people benefits of doubt. And either you know them for 10 years, you know them for 10 minutes. You never know what could be happening on the way to the form. And so I like to sit back and observe first and deduct and then make an educated guess. And other times I like to take a timeout. And even as adults, you get off that phone and you have a coffee with me or play some pinball or take a walk around the block. Or for me, I like to hit the gym to decompress. But I'd rather have them bend and not break, because I've seen too many people push it to a limit. And then they say something or do something that they can't take back. Right. And then through either embarrassment or just pride, you lose something that you've had for years that you build. And what a shame to judge them on the 1% when the 99%, they were aces.
But that's what happens. If your experience is that ends up being the 1%, then that's what's in your head. And that's one of the things I tell the people associated with me is reputation is everything. It takes years to build. And one thing can blow the whole thing. And
So you forget to call back, the deal's dead. You forget the email, the deal's dead. You forget to take good notes, the deal's dead. So listen, balance your plates, know your time, work the clock like an athlete. And that's how, and I'm not saying 100%, but you know perfectly well, it goes from half court to 3 point to foul shot percentages. You do beat it. You're a master of B2B. And then you work that pipeline and prospecting of the day to call back to then all of a sudden the 2 year ago guy calls you and goes, I'm ready. And that's how you make your day. That's how you make your day.
And then sometimes it's also just extending without asking something. What can I do for you? Versus everything's about what I can get or what I'm trying to get. And I think that some of that's been lost. It's just more gotten more transactional. And it's like a lot of times we do stuff, we just don't ask to get paid for it. It's helped in build the relationship. So I would imagine your clients must be very happy with you. I love your approach to how you conduct your business, how you train your people. They must be very happy with you, your clients. I bet most of them have been with you a long time.
Most, and some of them come and go for many reasons. But prior to any sort of working relationship, it's kind of like when you get a free sample. I'm not a toothpick guy. I'll give you a free slice. If you want, I'll give you a second slice. I know you're going to buy. And so cool with that. I like to risk a couple bucks to have a long-term client. And so I'll spend a half an hour on the phone. And even if you don't like lobster, and you're a steak guy and I'm only lobster, I will explain how I sell the lobster, how you could sell your steak. And I love, we've mentioned paying it forward. And so if a guy is a one-man shop, real estate guy, doesn't have the money to hire a full-time agent, he doesn't know what to do, let's go over your script. Let's adjust that voicemail. What's going on? How's your pipeline? And because I was there. I was the squire and the freshman. And I remember my mentors that said, Richie, you got talent. Come in here today. I'm going to give you some, first straighten your tie. And then I'm going to give you some good advice, kid. And I remember every first deal that I did when I was working for Corona Beer, the first account I landed, or when I was with Frontier Communications, the first account I landed. And I tell you what, that I don't know how I got that ball into the end zone. Was it sloppy? No, it was beautiful because I was raw. And they loved me and they know this kid is, he's trying so hard. You got to clap for him. I mean, I was professional, but it was my first deal. And I admitted, this is my first deal. Be my first account. Walk with me here. Help me. And they did, because I made myself vulnerable, they knew that they could have either made me or break me. And they made me. And I never forgot it. And so I always want to be that person. You need to earn it. I'm not just going to give it to you. But my goodness gracious, if you're going 15 rounds, you might just win on decision. And that's how I got it. I was bruised and beaten up. But my smile and my charm, because I was raised a certain way with manners and I was exceptionally polite and I was looking in your office, complimenting beautiful things behind you and being proud of your business that you have and just talking about outside things minus what I'm trying to sell you. I go, Richie, you got it. I love you. So I'm definitely giving you the business. And what do you say to people like that change your life?
And they knew you were going to go the extra mile. Yeah. I tell everybody associated with me, I don't care how long we've had a client, act like you just got them yesterday.
That's right.
Okay. You don't ever get comfortable. Okay. What kind of advice would you give for people to in searching for a call center, whether outbound or inbound? What kind of advice would you give as to what they should look for in using
I'll give you
such as yours?
Good cop and bad cop. Let's go bad cop first. You got to make sure that they are a company that follows all legal laws. I follow all business and banking laws in the United States with my company that's out of Florida. They in turn hire my company in Costa Rica, which follows all the labor laws here. I'm not going to be a fall guy for anybody. I'm a guest here. I have to pay the caja. I got to do the aguinaldo. I got to pay everything. And it costs money to run a business overseas. There's benefits to it. But then again, I'm not here to hide away. You Google me. In fact, some people go, Richard, you're the only one that really puts their name out there and I can call you. Yeah, because I'm not shady. I'm living a dream. And I want to make my parents proud and be on your podcast. But to look for a call center, that's it. You need to, if you're going to do something, do your own due diligence. You call me and go, Richard, are you paying your taxes there? Yes. Do you pay your caja? Yeah, good. I know the caja and the aguinaldo, which is that Christmas bonus they get on their 12th month. And so I want them to know this stuff. that this is covered. And so that's number one. But then on the second side, it's just in Hollywood. Can you work with you? Are you capable of? You might be Dennis Rodman. What a rebound king. And I think he's a cool cat.
I've
But
always
then
liked
again,
him.
but some people said he might have been an issue on or off the court. I don't know, but look at the points he's putting up. And so you have to ask yourself your limits. Now, I'm willing to have a client that's starting from scratch or needs to fix it, fine. But if you have an over-aggressive supervisor that uses such profanity that's not right for the moment, or insults the people, or wants me to cut corners here where we don't want to do that, we have an issue. Or let's just say, hypothetically, we're turning in leads and you're not following up on them. What do you think? Forget me. What do you think it's going to do to the team and their morale? You got to keep the troops' morale high and you got to give them positive reinforcement. And also, you can't, I call it the Jasmine effect. Just don't tell me there's a girl named Jasmine in your office that can do 10 an hour. Really? What's the average talk time? Okay, what's the wrap-up time? How many calls? When I start asking certain dissecting questions, then I go, really isn't 10 at 6. Okay, Johnny. Now we're adjusting. Listen, I know you want to motivate me and I want to work with you. But then again, man, I've been doing this for 25 years. Don't start telling me certain metrics because you're exciting me, or I've done this so many times with so many different verticals where I know it's not true. And you can't make a whole month's worth of calls with 500 numbers. Just can't do it, no matter what industry. And so I sometimes have to, you know what I do? I do the pregnant pause because you know that I know that. And I'll just look at them and I'll smile. They go, no, it's really 8. I go, is that your final answer? What's that show called? You want to make a deal or something? Yep. Yeah. And then I go, why don't I do this? Because I don't want to insult them, because that's what we don't do. May I share with you a couple other verticals I have? Sure, Richard. Paula, this one vertical that I have that has a 5-minute talk time also has a 1-minute wrap-up time because there's drop-downs and information. And I need to send the email, which is another minute as well. Okay. So now you're looking at about 8 minutes.
Okay.
And then also we're talking about IVR. So you're not talking about a direct contact. So just to add another minute there. Now you're at 9 minutes. So really, how many calls in essence can you make in an hour? And that's with perfect contact ratios on a predictive dialer. While you're telling me you're manually dialing. And so those are the sort of things where I try to explain from the other accounts that I have why you don't have enough gas to get to the beach. So I think you can save face. I'm not taking away your dignity, but I'm also letting you know, my brother, you're really trying to do this right now with me. I can play Pac-Man for 45 minutes. You don't even know the game. And so I try to do it in a very nice, kind way where they go, yes, Richard. And then they start asking me additional questions where we got that out of the way, if that makes any sort of sense. We're good to go in a very diplomatic way.
It sounds like you inject a lot of realism into it versus so many blue sky, like we can accomplish this, accomplish that, and they really can't. It sounds like
you got to be kidding
a lot
me.
Of realism into it.
You got to put me on a level playing field. Once again, it's not for me and you. It's for the 10 guys on the phone. They're going to quit. And that's not what we want. We got to keep that going. And so I will ask specific questions to ensure that at least we have a sporting chance.
Wow, this time went really fast, didn't it?
No,
yes,
we have
did.
To go.
Yeah. So my question to you is, if people are interested in a call center, how do they reach you?
They should buy a plane ticket and come visit me, which I'm going to insist that you do. You
got
to
sure
come
you
visit.
Take good care of them.
Oh, yeah. The land of Pura Vida. It's beautiful here. But no, if they're not buying a ticket today, you can just look me up at CostaRicasCallCenter.com, CEO CostaRicasCallCenter.com. And since they're friends with you, if they want to run by a script with me or just bounce around ideas, it is gratis.
Okay.
It is my gift to you and your audience.
Which is wonderful. And what's your email? Can they also email you?
Yes, ma'am. CEO at CostaRicasCallCenter.com.
With an S? Costa Rica with an S?
Costa Rica, as you take the apostrophe out, I'm from Philly, but I'm brazen enough to call my company Costa Rica's call center. Why? Why not? Yeah.
I saw that. I thought, that's an interesting name for his call center.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, Richard, thank you so much for your time. And hopefully people get a hold of you. And I really appreciate you giving me your time.
I appreciate yours as well. I had the best time too.
Okay. Thank you. Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.